If you can please turn with me in God's Word to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I just want to leave one verse with you. I'll just read that verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and it is the verse number 9. The Word of God says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Amen. We know God will bless the reading of his word. Let's unite together in prayer and ask the Lord just to help us to stay fresh, stay awake, and also to help us listen to the word. Father in heaven, we thank thee, O God, for thy hand upon us today already, for the word of God that has been read in various different languages. And Father, we rejoice even how the gospel is presented, Lord, all around the world. Lord, thou art calling out a people unto thyself, making up thy church. And Father, we pray even this day that thou will add unto the church daily such as should be saved. Lord, bless us now. Help us to make much of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, this time of the year, while others make much of other things, and sadly, even churches today make much of other things. Lord, help us to make much of Jesus Christ. Answer prayer. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. In the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and also if you want to include chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is teaching the church at Corinth their Christian service in the area of giving to the Lord's work to support the local gospel ministry. Now, this giving includes both financial giving and also giving themselves for the ministry. And the reason of this giving is a gospel reason. Giving to the Lord's cause belongs to our worship to the Lord. Giving off ourselves and off our substance is shown in Scripture to be one of those spiritual sacrifices that believers are to offer on to the Lord. And while Paul is writing this time, even though the Corinth believers, their time was pressed and their situation seemed to be that of poverty, yet Paul instructs them that their giving is to be liberal. In other words, giving generous, giving freely, giving abundantly, not holding anything back, but giving cheerfully. And in giving personally, lovingly, cheerfully, practically, thankfully, and sacrificially, they would demonstrate the sincerity of their love and the grace of God. Because it's only by the grace of God that believers are enabled to give themselves and of their giving to support the work of God and the laborers in the work. To strengthen his point, to encourage and help the saints at Corinth, Paul gives two examples of giving. In verses 1 to 7, he uses the example of the churches at Macedonia. And you take time to read those words. The church at Macedonia, they were also in times of affliction, facing struggles, testing times, and they were in deep or in great poverty. Yet, by the grace of God, though much poorer than the church at Corinth, the churches at Macedonia had gone beyond their means to help the Lord's people and to help the cause of Christ. And so Paul exhorts the church, the believers at Corinth, to do the same, to support the work and the workers of God. But then to strengthen his argument, Paul uses the greatest example of giving and the supreme giver, the Lord Jesus Christ, in that he endured the greatest affliction and the deepest poverty. And even in his poverty, none can compare to him. When Christ gave his life, a willing sacrifice for sin, he gave his all. When Christ gave, he kept nothing back. Rather, he paid the full price of our redemption. Again, in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, the Apostle Paul said, words of the Lord Jesus Christ, though not recorded in the Gospels, but given here by inspiration in the book of Acts, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And so we learn from that, that Christ came not to be ministered unto, that is, receiving, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for the many. That is the giving of himself. Why? That through his poverty ye might be rich. And so the riches that we have in view are both spiritual and they are eternal. Christ came to save poor sinners, to bless them and give them the kingdom of heaven. For ye know by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And I want to think today that believers are rich through Christ's poverty. That you as a child of God are rich through Christ's poverty. Notice three simple thoughts. There is the essence of Christ's riches. The essence of Christ's riches. Paul said in verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich." The word rich refers to one's wealth, abounding in resources and a plentiful supply. And so when we think of wealth, we think of riches, we do so with an earthly and a temporal mindset. We may think of riches as in investments or riches as gain. However, in this verse and referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is not speaking of men's riches or earthly riches. He is not saying that Christ was rich in money, material, or popularity. Rather, when Paul writes of Christ that he was rich, he is referring to his essence, his glory, his nature, his being. Notice carefully the wording. Christ became poor. But it does not say Christ became rich, because he was rich. The essence of his riches lies in who he is, his very being, his very nature. He is eternal, infinite, and unlimited. He is unchanging. His riches are all glorious because he is all glorious. The angels referred to Christ as glory to God in the highest. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that word unsearchable, or the phrase the unsearchable riches of Christ, mean the unfathomable riches of Christ, meaning it is impossible to fully comprehend, immeasurable, impossible to trace out. There's no limit to the riches of Christ. They are past finding out. We can never reach the depths of Christ's worth. He is eternally rich. He is infinitely rich. And he is unchangeably rich. Jesus Christ is God, and therefore he is rich. In him is an abundance of riches, goodness, mercy, pardon, and much more. And such riches will never weaken. They will never come to an end. They will never empty, because he gives, and he gives again. He is rich. Again, Romans chapter 11, verse 33 speaks of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 speaks of the riches of his grace. Again, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 speaks of his riches in glory. And since the words Christ was rich refer to his essence, his nature, his person, his glory, who he is, then the words that Paul write does not relate to Christ's ministry on earth. Because Christ's ministry on earth was marked with great affliction, deep poverty, and humiliation. When we speak of Christ's life on earth, we refer to his humiliation, the miseries of this life, his sorrow, his sufferings, his poverty. The Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Again, notice the reference to his incarnation when he came to dwell among men. Luke chapter 2, verse 7, that Mary, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And so this means the description of the riches and the richness of Christ relate before his incarnation, before his birth at Bethlehem, before the start of his earthly life. And so the question must be, if Christ's riches do not relate on earth, where do they relate to? Paul says he was rich. He did not become rich. He became poor, but he was rich. Where does this richness relate to? Well, the answer must be that the riches of Christ take us back before the foundation of the world. They refer to his deity as a divine person and the glory that he enjoyed with his Father in heaven. Because remember Christ's prayer in John chapter 17, verse 5. He prayed of the glory which he had with the Father before the world was. And so Christ speaks of the glory which he had with his Father from all eternity. And it is the glory of an uncreated divine and eternal being. He is rich. There never was a time when Jesus Christ did not exist. Christ's existence did not begin at Bethlehem. Now true, at Bethlehem, he took on to himself a human nature, but his divine person always existed. Jesus Christ, I want you to grasp this, Jesus Christ was not created by God. Rather, Christ always existed, the eternal Son of God, co-equal, co-eternal, because Jesus is God. No beginning and no ending. That's why Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 calls him the everlasting Father. It's amazing to note that Isaiah in his vision, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, said, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And so whenever Isaiah saw the Lord high upon his throne, Isaiah seen the Lord Jesus Christ upon his throne. He saw Christ in his glory. He saw Christ upon his throne. How do you know that? How can we make such a claim? Well, you compare Scripture with Scripture. And John chapter 12, verse 41 is a commentary on Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. And we read those words, these things Isaiah, or Isaiah, said when he beheld, or when he saw his glory, spake of him. And so Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up upon his throne, according to John chapter 12, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is rich. So here is Christ's richness. Paul is teaching to look to and to learn from Christ. Know by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. The one who was rich identified himself and associated himself with poverty-stricken sinners, spiritual beggars. And that's marvelous. That's abounding grace that brought him down to man. He came to gift spiritually poor sinners in great affliction and in great need with grace to make them spiritually rich. The one who was rich left the splendor, the glory of heaven, and came into this world. And so Paul, as he writes of Christ, he wants you to know that he is rich. He was rich. Speaks about the one in all his glory, the one in all his fullness, the one who lacked nothing, who needed nothing. Yet the one who came into this world to identify with sinners. And we're glad the Bible says, this man receiveth sinners. And we're glad today he saves the sinner. We're glad this day he saves sinners lost in their sin. And he's able to save you today. The essence of Christ's riches, it lies in who he is. He is rich. But notice secondly, the exchange of Christ's riches. Because we learn, though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. Now, throughout the centuries, these words have been misunderstood, misused, and misapplied to teach that Christians should live in poverty. And that's not the meaning of these words at all. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, exchanged riches for poverty. Again, notice, we must be careful, because when we think of someone becoming poor, we think in terms of great loss. We think of the one who was rich. They have lost something, such as losing their home, their savings. Something has been taken away from them, or it's been removed from them. And so we think in terms of a person who was rich in becoming poor, they have lost what they had before. But such conclusions do not apply to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he lost nothing. He did not become poor by stopping to be who he was, meaning he did not stop to be God. His exchange was not a loss. Deity was not taken from him. Rather, Christ was rich and became poor by becoming what he was not. He took on to his divine nature what he did not have before, a human nature. Christ's poverty is not the result of subtraction or anything that he lost, but rather by addition. He added to his godhood, manhood. Christ became poor by losing nothing, but gaining a human nature, the lowest of lows. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. As the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took off the same. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And such a truth blows our mind that we cannot take it in. We cannot and never will fully comprehend, understand, perfectly grasp God manifest in the flesh. That he who was rich, yet for your sakes became poor. His incarnation, his poverty from riches. The eternal, infinite, unchanging God came down to earth from heaven. He filled himself in human flesh, pleased as man with man to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel, God manifest in the flesh. The omnipotent, the almighty God came to earth in the person of Christ, made of a woman, born of the virgin, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. He who angels worshipped and praised in glory was born as a manger, made for cattle. His poverty, his humiliation was not limited to Bethlehem, but extends to all places he went, as he was despised and rejected of men in Egypt, as we look at later on. Nazareth, Galilee, Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Golgotha, even the people who followed him, the fishermen, the sick, the lame, poverty-stricken. But the question is, why the exchange from riches to poverty? Why take on to his deity, our humanity? Why leave the heights, the holiness, the glory, the praise of heaven for the sorrows of earth? Why come into this world? Paul tells us, Scripture tells us, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. And that phrase, for your sakes, literally reads, on your account. Though he was rich, yet on your account, in your place, he became poor. He became poor for your spiritual benefit. Christ impoverished himself on your behalf. Christ humbled himself on your account. Christ lowered himself for your sakes. Now remember the context of this chapter. Paul is instructing the Corinthians, who are in great trial, in great poverty, to keep giving on to the Lord. And he draws them because the Lord was given by God. He was given cheerfully. He was given liberally. When God gave his Son, he gave his all. And when Christ gave his life, he gave his all. He held nothing back. He didn't turn back. Rather, for your sakes, he became poor. Again, Christ came into this world to save sinners in great trial of affliction and deep poverty. Spiritually speaking, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And then 1 John tells us he was manifested to take away our sin. And so Christ intervened in this life. He became poor for our sakes in order to redeem us, in order to save us from hell's destruction and Satan's power, sin's guilt. What a wonderful gospel. What a wonderful time of the year. And throughout the year, we can think of the birth of Christ. But at this year, we can rejoice. The one who was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. And here's the marvel of it all. He did not have to. He was not obligated to at all. He could have left all mankind in their sin, in their damnation. You do not deserve anything. I do not deserve anything of the grace, the riches, the goodness of God. We all deserve eternal damnation. Yet on your account, on your behalf, he came into this world, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I tell you, men and women, while this time we celebrate the birth of Christ, but get beyond the baby and learn he is the Savior of the world. God manifest in the flesh. So the essence of Christ's riches, he is rich, they lie in who he is. The exchange of his riches, he became poor. Notice thirdly and finally, the enrichment of Christ's riches. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. When God created mankind, the first male and female, so there's no confusion these days, the first male and female, the first husband and wife, Adam and Eve, they were rich. They lacked nothing. They enjoyed God's presence and fellowship with God. They were the only people on earth to live in a perfect world. No sin, death, no sorrow, sickness, fears, problems, poverty, or debt. God created a sinless world and blessed it with all his riches. God created gold, diamonds, rubies, gems, oil, and much more through all over the world. And while man finds it and believes he discovered it, no, he's just found what God has put there. Mankind enjoyed the glory and the riches of Christ. But the moment, the very second, mankind sinned by disobeying God, they became spiritually bankrupt, poverty stricken, a famine of the soul. For the first time, there was a need. For the first time, there was a sorrow. For the first time, there was a void in the life of man. He was bankrupt, spiritually bankrupt in poverty. They had lost fellowship with God. Sin, death had entered into the world, and that perfect world was now cursed by sin. However, by grace, the Son of Man came into this world to live as a man and to pay man's debt. And only through Christ's poverty can sinners be spiritually and eternally enriched. What was lost by sin is restored by grace. As soon as a sinner is saved by the grace of God, not by good works, but when a sinner is saved by the grace of God, spiritual enrichment begins. Rich in spiritual blessings by Christ, a garment of salvation is clothed to clothe poverty-stricken sinners. There's adoption into families, God, into God's family, to enjoy all the blessings, the benefits, and the privileges of the people of God. Do you realize that, child of God? When the Lord saved you, he has brought you into his eternal family. Heaven belongs to you as well. You have a mansion prepared for you. You have access day by day to the throne of grace. The one who is rich, the one who supplies your need, does so day by day as a child of God. You shall never lack. And if you have not, it's because ye asked not or ask amiss. But God has blessed you in Jesus Christ. You are rich if you possess eternal life. If you've Christ as your Savior, you are rich. I tell you this, you may not live in Buckingham Palace, and you may not have all the riches of the royal family, but I tell you this, you are richer than they are because you have Christ as your Savior. And that ought to thrill our hearts. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. We are promised an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, one that fades not away. We have blessings reserved for us that have been purchased by the precious blood. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, and we shall rule and reign with him. Believers are rich in possession, rich in position, rich in privilege, rich in promises. We are rich right now. It's not just I'm waiting to be rich. It's not just I'm looking forward to heaven. We are rich right now. Heaven belongs to you right now. As good as if you were there right now. Christ became poor that we through his poverty might be rich. Christ died that you might live. He stooped low to lift you up. The greatest wealth, the greatest riches any person can ever have is life by Jesus Christ. We made that point last week at the children's meeting at the close. We made that point, boys and girls, and we'll add today and say mums and dads and parents, You may ask something for Christmas this year, but the greatest gift you will ever have and receive is the gift of eternal life. You may buy something with batteries. Well, those batteries will run out. And sometimes they put it away. You have to take the batteries out so they don't corrode. You may get something that will wear out, something that will ruin, something that will need to be replaced. But salvation is eternal. And that's the greatest gift you can ever have and ever possess. Eternal life, the forgiveness of sins. The one who was rich became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich. And I don't mean to become a millionaire, but I do mean you will have a million blessings. Promises, day by day, God's goodness, God's grace. We, as the people of God, are rich in Christ. And therefore rejoice in the Lord. Sinner today, I trust you will feel your poverty stricken, your barrenness of soul, not rejoicing at all, misery of life. You must come and realize that you need Christ's salvation. He's the one who fills the void. He's the one that fills the gap. He is the one who is eternally rich. And he gives, he satisfies. And you can have your sins forgiven. Backslider, one who walked well with God, one who has left the Lord, not reading the Bible, not praying, not seeking the Lord. Well, the Lord is married to the backslider. And though I forget him and wander astray, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. He is rich, rich in love, rich in goodness, rich in mercy. And he's willing this day to save, to restore, to bless all and any who will come unto him by faith. May the Lord write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.